T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thrilled to be joined now by Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. I got to start with Thursday's round one of the draft. You guys don't have a pick. What do you do all day? How are you spending the day when you don't have a pick and you are pretty confident you're not getting back in?
Yeah, that was the quintessential hurry up and wait. So we're all, how'd you spend Thursday? I mean, you wake up, you're with the players in the morning. So we had our phase one had meetings, and then really you kind of break for the afternoon knowing you're going to be in the office till late just kind of watching the TV. So everybody kind of spread to their corners of Northeast Ohio, pick the kids up from school, those type of things. And then you get back to work, and like all of our fans, I was sitting there watching on the TV as it unfolded.
Did you guys pretty much know for a fact you weren't going to trade in no matter what? Or were there some scenarios you could see where you guys could move back into the first round?
Yeah, we pretty much. Yeah. You hate to say never, but right. I don't know what the scenario would have been for us to move.
So you were just
all the
chilling
way
on Thursday, eating chicken wings.
We weren't chilling. Yeah, we had what do we have? We had Rocco's. We had Fahrenheit here, so Rocco took good care of us. So Jeez. We did have some good food.
When do you know you're? By the way, Kevin Stefanski joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, as all our guests do. When do you know that you are moving out of that pick in the second round? And I got to tell you, we were sitting there watching the draft, and when Kwesi moved up to 42, Zach Jackson leaned over to me and goes, he's going to take their guy. Kwesi just jumped the Browns. And then sure enough, I can't remember which one, the Vikings take a cornerback there, and then you trade down and wind up taking a corner. I know you're not going to tell me if that was your guy at 42 or not, but when do you realize that you're probably going to dip out of that pick and collect extra picks?
Yeah, honestly, there's so many calls that occur. It's really hard to keep track of. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are calling, both saying, hey, we may want to come up, or they're calling and saying, hey, do you guys want to come up? And then what you do is you start bandying around with the frameworks of the parameters of the deal. So-and-so called and they mentioned they'd give us this, and we have somebody looking at that deal. And then another team calls and they say they're mentioning this. So it's really Andrew's at the middle of all this, directing traffic, saying, hey, you guys talk to them, you talk to this team. It's very organized. But what I tell you is there's just so many phone calls. Luckily, I'm not on them. I'm just listening in with everybody. I'm kind of just trying to sit back and provide any counsel I can. But just watching those guys work is pretty impressive. So sometimes it happens 10 picks away from where you are. Sometimes they hear that you're on the clock and the phone rings. It really varies. I don't even remember when the Houston deal came about just because there's so many happening in the moment.
Kevin Stefanski with us on the hotline. Coach, after the draft now, how do you feel about your wide receiver room?
Yeah, I feel good. And I feel even better watching them throw finally because I got to see it on Monday, throw and catch, that is. I think we have some different traits. Obviously Amari Cooper is, kind of his career speaks for itself. He's been a productive guy everywhere he's been. Getting around Amari, getting to know Amari, getting to see him run, see what routes and concepts he's best at, and then seeing what the quarterback, what he rhythms up with Amari. What you want ultimately is that route between the two of them where it's a gimme. It's a 9 out of 10. We're going to take it. So we're just exploring that, I tell you. And then we got young guys. And I'm, I like having the youth in there. I like having the competitive group in there. Also, not that this is the most important part, but it's a really, really smart group. Just you break the huddle with Amari and Donovan and Schwartzy, adding a young guy like David Bell, who's really a smart young player. I think it's a group that has a ton of good traits, and you can move them around the formation.
So who's your number two receiver right now?
Great question. I don't know. We don't have to set that depth chart. I think it's going to be so dependent. I was talking to coaches about this today. You know, dependent on play type. It might be dependent on personnel. If we're in 12 personnel, your number two might be this guy. If you're in 11, you know, we're going to bump this guy in here. So it remains to be seen. We have a couple of rookies that haven't been on campus yet. So until I see them, I really can't say.
You guys draft a running back, Jerome Ford, in the fifth round. You know, I think you got great value on the player. The question is, can you keep four or five running backs on the roster? How do you deal with that situation?
Yeah, I think ultimately the roster, you don't have to get down to 53 for a long time. So those are good problems to have. We like having good players. And can you keep four on the roster? Yeah, you can. If those are four good players that are going to help your football team, yes, you can. Obviously, you got to make it work elsewhere. But, you know, adding a guy like Ford, you know, we like his skill set. We like what he can do in the run in the past. Got to sit down and meet with him at the combine. Thought he did a really nice job. So he'll learn from those guys. And what you're doing is you're adding depth. I think when you add depth and you add competition, I really do think it brings the best out of everybody.
When Kareem Hunt first got here, a lot of people were excited about the possibilities of a Hunt and Chubb backfield tandem at the same time. It just hasn't worked the way that I think a lot of people thought it would. Why is it so difficult to get those guys on the field at the same time and keep them both productive?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's things that we've talked about internally as well. You know, what we're trying to do is get the best out of both guys. And sometimes that may be the both of them on the field, but I feel like when they're both available to us, that 1-2 punch, the 1A, 1B punch has been pretty good. So a little bit of it is if it's not broke, we don't want to completely reinvent ourselves. Having said that, I fully recognize how good those two players are. So we absolutely will explore ways to get them both on the field at the same time. I think what you also then need to think about, if you have those two guys on the field, who are the other three eligibles? Do you want three wide receivers? Do you want two wide receivers and a tight end? What's the defense going to counter with? Are they going to counter with base and sub? So all variables that we constantly work through, but this is a very long-winded way of saying we'll do whatever it takes to move the football and score points, and we're not closed-minded to say that it wouldn't include those two on the field at the same time.
Kevin, obviously the elephant in the room is Watson and a potential suspension that could be looming. With that being said, how do you prepare yourself for the season, your guys for the season, not knowing exactly who's going to be the starting quarterback week one?
Yeah, I just think it's kind of the nature of it. We don't know, and that's okay. So we're going to work through that as more information becomes available. But ultimately, we're getting three new quarterbacks ready with Deshaun in there, Jacoby in there, and Josh Dobbs. We've got three new guys calling plays in the huddle. There are three cadences, you know, so the guys hearing those voices. So that room, there's a lot of learning going on. There's a ton of teaching going on. And then as more information comes available, we can determine how we rotate guys in training camp and those type of things. But until we have that information, we're really just in a holding pattern.
Well, I'll go ahead and mention the other elephant that's in the room. Baker's still lingering over this whole thing. We had Mark Dominic on, former Bucks GM, earlier, and he actually said, you keep Baker on the roster in case you need him, and I can't envision any scenario. So I'll just ask you, is there any chance Baker Mayfield touches the field for the Browns this year?
Yeah, you know, I think the term we've said all along is fluid, and that's where I can only speak to May 3rd, and you know, we're going to continue to try to work this every single day and just understand that, you know, you'd love, like we've talked about before, you'd love to have an answer for it, you know, 3 months ago, last week. It's just, that's not the reality of where we are. So for me and for us, I'm just going to deal with it day to day.
You know, you look back at last season, and not to, like, you know, go back and talk about the past, but now there's been a lot of time to watch tape, to evaluate your job, how the offense played. Is there anything looking back that you would have done different?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's anytime. I think you can say that in game, you know, in the middle of games, you can talk about, you know, certain series, certain play calls, constantly trying to figure out ways to get different guys the ball. Wish we had explored this run concept more, this pass concept more, done this differently in the red zone. So, yeah, I mean, that's the stuff that, you know, keeps you up at night when you fall short. So there's a ton of operationally things that we can do better. But ultimately, my job and what I'm trying to do as it pertains to the offensive side of the ball is put guys in position to succeed. And if we don't, you know, if we fall short, that I think very strongly that I need to do a better job. So that's where the reflection postseason comes. And we spent a lot of time talking about that. And quite honestly, just I'm very fortunate to have guys on the staff that can tell the truth, that can, you know, they're not afraid to hurt my feelings. So we talk through things that I think I can do better, and then we just have to do it. But I'm never, ever going to be the person that tells you that I'm going to point the blame at somebody else, because I'm not going to do that, because I do think I can do better.
Kev, you know, when people talk about your offense, from whether it be Minnesota or here your time in Cleveland, they talk a lot about you. You love the tight ends, 12 personnel, 13 personnel. Now that you've got Watson at quarterback, the offense, I mean, you got a new Ferrari in the garage, basically, with this quarterback. How much will your offense change? How much more will we see 11 personnel, 10 personnel groupings as you guys sort of spread things out?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think we're working on it right now, is the truth. We're out there in phase two, running routes, breaking the huddle, and really seeing what we have. And you mentioned Deshaun. Obviously, Deshaun has a unique skill set that we have to make sure that we're playing to his strengths. There's a lot of things that we've had success doing in the last 2 years that Deshaun is really, really good at. And then there's some other things that we really haven't gotten into just yet, or we haven't featured, I guess is probably the best way to put it, that he's good at. So we're going to try to adapt and have the whole offense, you know, the coaches, the players, look into different schemes and make sure that it ultimately fits us. But when you have a player like Deshaun, you certainly want to utilize everything that he does well. But to say I know what that looks like week one right now isn't fair, just because literally got my eyes on Deshaun and the guys on Monday.
One more on Deshaun, the Trevor Bauer suspension that came down from MLB. I know it's a different sport, but there are some similarities between the two cases, no criminal charges, and yet MLB suspends Bauer for 2 years. Is there any concern within the organization that could change sort of the ruling that's yet to come on Deshaun's case?
Yeah, I really can't speak to that. I don't know enough about that. I'll just tell you, we've every step along the way been in constant communication with the league and with Deshaun's representatives and these type of things, and we'll just await when the ruling comes down, and whatever it may be, that we're kind of going to wait for that time.
So Dustin and I were yelling at each other for an hour yesterday over kickers and whether or not you should draft kickers. And I love it.
I hate it.
He hates it. I love it.
Listen, I don't hate the player, Kev. I just don't like drafting kickers. I just think, you know, over time, over history, I argued with Dorsey before you were here about this too. So I just hate drafting kickers. I think there's more value in getting someone in this, maybe the seventh round undrafted. It's fine. I get it. This kid better be a pro, all pro. I mean, fourth round, it's high.
And my point is, you don't have a kicker. You better keep shooting until you find one. So
Sounds like you guys are still arguing.
We kind of are.
So, I mean, obviously you're on my side because Cade York's on this team, but what was it about him? Why did you like him? And I have to concede, four is high. That's a high round to go get a kicker. So why did you like him in that spot? And what did you see at the workout that told you he was the
wind?
The wind was whipping, I will tell you that. Yeah, I think it's a body of work with Cade, and look at what he did over the course of his career, making some big kicks and some big moments. And then, of course, you get to see him at the combine and the private workout and those type of things. But, you know, we got to that point in that round, and need met value, and felt like we really didn't want to miss out on adding him to the roster. He's a really good prospect coming out. Like all these picks, by the way, and Dustin, you know this.
Yep.
You know, these guys got to work at it. They got to develop. You're not going to bat 1,000. He's going to be a rookie kicker, and we're going to have to continue to develop him. And, you know, I actually just spoke to him not too long ago. He's excited to get up here and get to work. But that's what we're doing with these rookies. You're trying to base what you saw on tape, base what you know from meeting them. But they're not finished products. They certainly need a lot of work.
You know, when you were in Minnesota, you guys drafted Carlson in the fifth round, and he was cut pretty early after he had a really poor performance. I think he missed four kicks. How long of a leash do you give Cade York?
Yeah, I think with any player, and this is true, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be growing pains with every single rookie that you draft. That's just the nature of being a rookie. So for us, when we talk about you want to bring these guys along. You want to you got to understand that they're not going to be the absolute potential of what they can be in week one of their first game. So I understand that with Cade. I understand that with MJ Emerson. So it's our job to bring them along and understand that it's a process with young players and particularly sometimes with young kickers.
So what do the next couple of weeks look like for you before rookie minicamp begins? Now that the draft is over, where do you go from here?
Yeah, so we get the players in the building, which I can't emphasize enough how big a deal that is having the guys here. I just think we're covering so much ground, you know, simply from a schematic standpoint, but also just the coming together as a team standpoint. I know that sounds like coach speak, but I really just think it's important, and it's something that we haven't been able to do. So having the guys in the building, watching them work out together, watching them joke around together is huge. So everything else we do is a bonus. But in the meantime, we got the rookies coming in the weekend of the 14th. Then they'll be able to stay here as we get into our final week of phase two. And then it's OTAs starting in May 24th, I believe, is our first OTA. So it's really it's the rhythm of the off season that I know and love. We just haven't seen it in a few years.
Well, we can't let you get out of here without the weekly Jarvis and Jadeveon questions. Yeah. So Jarvis and Jadeveon, is there any update there? Is there any chance either of them are on the field for the Browns next year?
Yeah, no update, I would tell you, and I think Andrew mentioned this the other day. He keeps tabs on all of those type of situations, constant communication with people around the league. So we'll see. It's the nature of roster building. It takes time, and it takes weeks at times, and it's never final. And you know that, so you'll go through this next couple weeks here, get to mandatory mini camp. We'll take a break and get to training camp, but you know, those 90 players, sometimes it changes even from today, May 3rd. We may have a few new guys as the roster continues to fill out. I don't even believe we have 90 total just yet. So I think changes kind of throughout the next couple weeks, and then see what we got when we roll into Berea in July.
It feels like there's a lot of big-name guys still available, not even talking about Jadeveon and Jarvis, just around the league. It feels like free agency isn't over yet, and it's May. Am I wrong? Does it feel like it's taking longer this year, or is it always this way and I just wasn't paying close enough attention before?
No, I think you're probably right. There does seem to be something to that. So I think some guys are letting – I don't think they're in a big rush maybe to hustle into an NFL offseason. I think they're content to work out on their own and understand that they can, you know, sit tight and work out in whatever city they're in and ultimately be added by training camp. And maybe that's a reflection, again, of not having those off seasons the past couple years where guys figured they can just show up in training camp and hit the ground running. That could be, but it does feel like there are some guys out there. I would agree.
Kevin, last thing for me, we appreciate the time. Just to circle back on Baker, one more quick question, follow-up question. You know, some people have suggested that Baker could be here throughout the season if you can't find a suitor to trade him. How do you balance that? You know, keeping a guy on the roster, taking up a roster spot if he's not playing, is that a tough decision to make?
Yeah, that's. I tell you where this is unique. I don't know that there's a lot of situations like this. You know, I trust that Andrew will work through all of this, and I really say that it's a day to day type of thing. But it's a unique situation. Baker's a good football player. He's on our roster. But I understand that there's a lot of variables that go into all this, and that's kind of, you know, our job to wade through it day by day.
Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, gentlemen, good luck arguing about the kicker.
Thanks, I'm going to win.
See you guys.
You better be good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.